On Tuesday, September 30th, 2025, Forward Montana and Bozeman, a City for CEDA, co-sponsored a candidate forum that was held at the Gallatin Labor Temple in Bozeman for candidates for mayor and city commission for the upcoming election in Bozeman. We've got the recording of that event. The first part of the evening was moderated by representatives from Forward Montana as they asked questions of the candidates, and it was a hot wing challenge, so we edited out the parts where the candidates were struggling with the spice of their wings and just included the answers to the questions. We want to remind you that the opinions expressed in this recording do not necessarily represent the opinions of the board or the volunteers for KGVM. They are the opinions of the speakers themselves.
All right, well, we are going to get into things while everybody, there's still some folks in the back that are getting food and stuff, feel free, but we're going to get into things. Thanks so much all for your time and coming and joining us for our candidate forums. We are so excited to have you. My name is Taryn, and I do voter engagement and reproductive rights work for Forward Montana here in Bozeman.
Can people hear me? Yeah? Great, we love it. Hi, everybody. This is a full room. This is so exciting. Thank you for taking time out of your day to do this. My name is Savannah, she, her pronouns, and I am the development coordinator here in Bozeman. Love. All right, so for those of you who are just like tagging along, someone told you to come to this. Forward Montana, who are we? What do we do? Forward Montana is the state's largest youth-led and youth-driven civic engagement organization, building power within young, with and for young people and those young at heart. And that means empowering everyday folks, right? To get involved and make their voices heard, from registering to vote to running for office to candidate forums like this and really everything in between. Young people in Montana, we have big dreams for a better, more inclusive future, and we deserve opportunities to make that happen.
Can't hear you.
Oh, you can't? There we go. Okay, there we go. Yeah, kick it off.
Okay, awesome. Can everybody hear me all right? Perfect. Just keep me updated in case you can't. But yeah, let's just get into the nitty-gritty of it and municipal elections and what these elected positions do. As a primer, all of the candidates were invited to tonight's forum to ensure that everyone has a fair shake to voice their platform. Eli Anselmi is out of the country and regrets that he could not be here tonight. Just to let y'all know. Okay, so we'll talk about the mayor and the city commission positions. So what does the mayor do? The mayor serves as a voting member of the city commission and as the leader of Bozeman. The mayor drives policy for the city, determining what our community looks and feels like. And due to the Bozeman City Charter, the elected mayor in Bozeman serves 2 years as deputy mayor before serving a 2-year term as the official mayor. There are 3 candidates running for mayor, one of which will be elected. As far as the city commission goes, city commissioners craft and vote on city policies and budgets to represent the Bozeman residents' interests and develop a sustainable path forward for the city. They drive policy that determines what our community looks like and feels like for years to come. There are 6 candidates running for city commission, and there are 2 open seats this election. If you care about issues like affordable housing policy, infrastructure, public parks, public safety, then it's imperative that you vote in this election November.
Okay. Can you guys hear me? Great. Who here has seen Hot Ones? Raise your hand. Okay, great. Most of you have. But I'll give you a primer. So it's Hot Ones inspired. So for those of you who have never seen or heard of Hot Ones, really it's a talk show where celebrities and just notable people sit down and they eat spicy hot wings. And we ask you questions, and the spice gets hotter and hotter and hotter until your taste buds fall off, basically. So each candidate will start with a 1-minute introduction. You guys won't have to have a wing for that. I'll save you that. We'll then move into a series of long-form questions. Candidates will either have 2 minutes or 1 minute to respond, depending on the question. Our timekeeper, Emma over here, will keep track. When your time is up, you will be cut off to ensure fairness and consistency. And we will rotate who answers first, so no one has to always go first or last. And just as a reminder, this is a forum. It's not a debate. Candidates should direct their answers to the audience, not to each other. And to save time, we ask that the audience to hold your applause until everyone has answered a question. Then you're welcome to clap if you feel so. And we have a strict heckling policy. Just don't do it. Don't be an asshole. Be respectful. That's all that I ask. please.
Kicking it out, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And then candidates, we ask that you minimize jargon so everyone can really clearly understand your answers. And audience members, we are accepting written submissions for questions. So if you have one, we have little slips of paper at the sign-in table. People will be passing those around. At our break, you can fill one out. So, yeah. And then I think that's all that I have for you guys.
We'll kick it off. Awesome. And I just forgot to say earlier, but as a reminder, all of the information I was talking about earlier about, like, what does the mayor do? What do city commissioners do? Are available on our website, where our voter guide is now live for this municipal election. So if you need any information, you can go to forwardmontana.org and check that out. Okay, perfect. Well, we are going to get right into it then, and we're going to do candidate intros. Each candidate is going to have 1 minute to explain who they are and a little bit about their platform. And Douglas, would you like to start?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Our timer's right here, just so folks know.
All right, so Bozeman, I think we can all agree, is a special place. I love it. It's where my wife and I raised our two kids. I think we can also agree that that specialness is fragile. It does not happen by accident. It needs nurturing and care. And the reason I'm running for mayor is because we need effective leadership to protect that as Bozeman grows. I am a journalist. I have served 8 years on the Bozeman School Board, where I learned how to build consensus around difficult issues. I love doing that. I also love, and I know how, to do things like clear snow from the streets, build and expand our trail system, make tough choices about our budget. That is my promise, to bring that blend of grounded in Bozeman, focused on facts, willing to bring people together, to lead Bozeman with clarity and care.
Hi there. Can you guys hear me in the back? Yeah. All right. My name is John Meyer. I'm running for mayor of Bozeman because I think we can do better. I think it's a fact that we do not want more luxury development in our town. I think it's a fact that developers have taken our town by hostage. I think it's a fact that if you work in Bozeman, you should be able to live here. We don't have enough affordable housing in Bozeman right now. And so I have a proven track record of delivering results. I've won lawsuits that have stopped construction of a $550 million coal railroad in southeast Montana. I've protected millions of acres of critical habitat for threatened and endangered species across land in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. I'm the attorney that drafted Bozeman's single-use plastics initiative. That passed by 63%. And I'm also the attorney that helped citizens draft the Warden Initiative that's going to provide affordable housing for people who work in Bozeman.
Can y'all hear me? I don't know how close I need to be.
You're good.
I'm Brendan O'Connor. I'm running for mayor of Bozeman. I'm a lifelong Bozeman local. I'm a night shift custodian at MSU, and I also run a small cleaning business in the morning. So I know firsthand how hard it is to make it work here in Bozeman with the rising housing costs and still trying to make a meaningful contribution to this community. And I'm running for mayor because I believe we need leadership that is accessible, transparent, practical, and laser-focused on providing affordability for the everyday people of Bozeman.
My name is Roger Blank. Can you all hear me? I'm running for city commission because I believe the current commission has been fiscally irresponsible and has abdicated their responsibility for public safety. I'm an attorney with 27 years experience. I'm a former prosecutor. I'm currently a defense attorney. And I believe that we can do better. And we need to do better because as special and as great a place as Bozeman is, if we don't have public safety and you don't feel comfortable walking in the parks or walking out at night or running your errands or whatever, it doesn't matter because it all comes down to public safety because we can't enjoy the parks if we don't have that sense of security. And right now the commission has abdicated the responsibility to all of us, and that's why I'm running for city commission. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Emma Bodie. On 1 through 5, my Pakiza order is a 0, so this could be really rough for me. I'm a data analyst, a community organizer, and a current city commissioner. I want to speak clearly to the moment that we're in. Much of Bozeman is grieving the way that we have changed. We're at a crossroad with two choices. We could try to create a town that is impervious to the changing world around it, build a wall with our policies, pushing nearly all development out of city limits, and with it, the working class. Or we could recognize that stopping growth will hurt more than it helps, but we can direct how that growth happens. Bozemanites want this town to be a place where people of every economic background and life stage can afford to live, where landlords are responsive and accountable, we tend to the land, protecting key wildlife migration corridors, our buildings are efficient, and we power them with renewable energy, where we have abundant multimodal transit options, and where all people are treated with humanity. I'm both the most experienced person in this race and a young person hungry for change. I'm running to make sure Bozeman is a place where no one's left behind.
Hey there, folks. My name is Trevor Nominuk. I'm running for Bozeman City Commission. A recent, not so recent anymore, graduate from the University of North Dakota, where I studied political science and public administration, which is kind of where I got my start in the public side of things. I work now here in Bozeman with Town Square Media, where I do marketing sales, and quite frankly, that's kind of how I got my start here in this campaign. I work with business owners every day. I work with non-for-profits every day. I hear from members of the community who made it apparent to me that, quite frankly, they don't feel heard or well represented on the commission. And so that is what I am here to do, is to be the voice of the community. I want to be your voice. I want to listen to you. One of the things that I am most passionate about is transparency and opening dialogue. And so that, among, you know, some of my other platforms are on my website, Trevor for Bozeman. You can find more there. My contact information is there. I want to hear from you. Thank you.
You opened the floodgates.
My name is Allison Sweeney, and I'm running for city commission because we have shit to fix. I came to this decision through neighborhood advocacy and my work with the Better Bozeman Coalition. My neighbors and I have been working for years in a working class neighborhood, build community, fix up old houses, build relationships, watch each other's kids go to school. City policy is threatening to destabilize that. I want to address these issues at the municipal level. Our city has burned out powerful advocates over the years, and I'm tired of seeing that happen. I want to empower you when you participate. I want to be a leader that listens to you.
All right, can I speak from here? Kudos to whoever did sound, that's awesome. Thank you guys. Emily Tlego, I'm running for Bozeman City Commission. Some of you may know I did run in 2021, did pretty well, didn't spend much money. Very proud of that. I have a background in biotechnology, I have a bachelor's and master's in that. I worked in that field for quite a long time. Took a break about 9 years ago. Started working at Cashman Nursery, and it kind of stuck. I'm the daughter of a third-generation nurseryman, so I can't help but find myself cultivating things all the time. So I am running because I think I can cultivate some really good things for Bozeman. I cut my teeth on the Inter-Neighborhood Council. I started the Midtown Neighborhood Association. I also chaired that. Somebody should fact-check who's actually has the most experience participating in civics in this room, because I think I'm going to win that one. So 2010 is when I first went to my first city commission meeting, and I was definitely the youngest person in the room for a long time. It's very exciting to see lots and lots of young people here. I am running because I have a deep love of this place, and I see my stop sign here. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Okay, let's give claps. Come on. Okay, this is very important. Look at your plates. Right side is mild. Left side is spicy. Don't mess up the order.
Right side is mild.
Yeah, right side we start mild, and then we progressively get spicier. So don't mess it up.
Yeah.
So let's kick us off on our first question. This is going to be 1 minute. You're going to want to start eating your wing. So as Bozeman continues to grow, we have increasingly become multimodal in our transportation, meaning more cars, more buses, more bikes, more walking. What would be your vision for increased multimodal infrastructure and accessibility to car alternative transportation in Bozeman? And I'm going to kick it off with you, John.
We need to build a town where you don't have to drive a car to get to the nearest grocery store. That's my overarching goal here. I want a town where you can bike to the grocery store, walk to the grocery store, take a bus in under 10 minutes. That, to me, is a true community. What I've seen all across the country is communities where you have to drive everywhere, and it's just a sprawl, and it's not helpful to our town. And so we can do a better job of public transportation. We need a direct bus line from the airport to downtown Bozeman. We need a direct bus line from the airport to MSU. We need to do a better job of cleaning up our bike lanes. I ride my bike down Rouse, and it's full of glass, rocks, and a bunch of crap every day. My employee takes his bike down Durston, and he said the same thing. All summer, it's just been nasty, and it's terrible. And so we can clean this stuff up very quickly and make it a more commuter-friendly town.
On transportation, though, it's been something I've been thinking about for a long time, that we really need to improve our public transportation. With so many people who live in Belgrade and Four Corners and have to come to Bozeman every day to work, I think it's important that first we focus on providing reliable public transport from those areas to Bozeman, as well as improving routes in town. That means more frequent stops, longer service hours, especially on the weekend. And I think as we continue to grow, we need to really focus on safe bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. You know, when I was 14, I was hit by a car at the intersection of Main and 19th while riding my bike. And I was, frankly, lucky to walk away alive. I mean, speed limit there is 35, 40 miles an hour. And, you know, with so many people in Bozeman who walk and bike. So we need to prioritize making the infrastructure safe for everybody who does that.
First of all, I support the expansion of bus transportation and routes. Keeping that in mind, public transportation to be a realistic alternative, the city has to work with Streamline to bring their service into the 21st century, such as all buses being fitted with GPS and an app that residents can download so that the user can immediately see... Pardon me.
Love it.
So the user can really see where the next bus is and how long it will take to get to that resident stop. Nobody wants to take the bus if it is 10 below outside and they don't know exactly where the next bus is and how long it's going to be before they have to wait to get there. Making a public service user-friendly is instrumental in making the public want to use that service.
Okay. So Bozeman's car-centric, but many of us are too young, physically unable, or cannot afford to drive. Multimodal transportation is really about connectivity, ensuring that all Bozemanites can fully utilize all the resources that this community has. And yes, it also reduces traffic and carbon emissions, and it supports our affordable housing goals by reducing the need for parking, but we should all have the right to commute. And the reality is that pedestrians, cyclists, and bus riders cannot get everywhere they need to go or face significant personal risk in doing so. As your commissioner, I will champion current efforts to close gaps in our pedestrian and bicycle infrastructure. In my current role on the Urban Transportation District Board, I will push to expand bus routes to have more coverage and increase their frequency to 30-minute service in all routes and 15-minute in major thoroughfares, while keeping it free for all users. Streamline just released their new bus lines, increasing coverage to West and Southwest Bozeman, and adding new routes, including an airport express. Please take a moment to head to their website and fill out their survey. Thanks.
Excuse me, so I'm going to echo a couple of the things, maybe a combination of some of the things that were already said. Public transportation is vital to a healthy community. Excuse me again. I think working with Streamline is... you know, we need to provide that service to people who maybe, like Emma just mentioned, cannot afford a car. That being said, folks, we live in Montana, and so allowing for, people to still own their cars and have the right to travel any way that they want is going to be imperative. It snows a lot. I know personally I don't really want to be standing outside of a bus lane when it's blizzarding out, right? So we have to make sure that the people who need those services have access to those services, making sure that they're public friendly, while also being, you know, mindful of all the other alternatives too that do also include cars.
All right. I will be happy to coordinate with the Metropolitan Planning Organization and the Urban Transportation District in order to expand Streamline. While we improve multimodal transportation, we need to recognize that cars are going to be the primary mode of transportation for most people. Bozeman has one of the highest rates of car ownership in the country because we go biking and skiing and hiking and fishing and climbing and paragliding and all the things, okay? I actually think where the city's responsibility lies in this is to encourage and foster and actually take a much more active role in neighborhood scale commercial in all neighborhoods around the city. Neighborhood supportive services that include coffee shops, bakeries, daycares, the pizza place you go for dinner when you don't want to cook, the ice cream shop, these kind of services.
A couple of things. So when I was on the Urban Renewal Board for Midtown, one of the things that came up a lot was the idea of multimodal and how do we integrate that into a corridor that by and large has been built for automobiles. I'm just going to go on the record emphatically. I will never, ever, ever ask a pedestrian or a cyclist or somebody with a stroller or any of the, you know, a longboard to share the road with an F-350. I won't do it. The physics doesn't work. Absolutely not. It must be a protected area. It must be grade separated. If we're serious about that, we're going to ask people to do that. We have to take that seriously. The other thing when it comes to Streamline, it's about creating value. When I worked at MSU, it was way more valuable to me to walk two blocks, take the bus, go to the sub, walk to my building than it ever was to start my mornings circling and searching for a parking spot. I realized there was value there. Someone demonstrated it for me. If we demonstrate that to someone else, we will get higher ridership if there's value. Thank you.
Okay, another round of applause, guys. Apologies. Never mind. Hold it.
It's going to be on biking and connectivity. And to me, that is a safety issue as well as a transportation issue. As I've been knocking on doors this fall, I've heard from a lot of parents who do not feel comfortable letting their kids out the door biking to school. And we need safe routes to school. We need to get kids off the main roads. We need to build as we build. We need to be building, you know, making sure we have trails that are connecting our neighborhoods. Trails, you know, bike paths that go through neighborhoods and not through main streets. We need to be building communities where we are where you can work and you can live and you can play and gather and go to school. That's going to be my focus as your next mayor.
Applause round two.
All right, folks, you're going to have 1 minute to answer this question. And it is, in July, in response to state legislation from this session, the Pride flag was adopted as an official city flag for the city of Bozeman. If you were the mayor or commissioner, would you vote to make the Pride flag the city's official flag, and why or why not? And we'll do the same thing and just start when you down. So,
Well, I absolutely recognize that for so many people, that flag is a symbol of inclusion and welcomeness. If I had been one of our elected officials at that time, I would have voted no on the Pride flag adoption, simply because I think that Bozeman is better off having one flag that represents all of us. And, you know, I think the best way for people in our community to feel more welcome and more included is to elect people who will advocate for you and who promote themes of inclusion and welcomeness. So I think it puts the city kind of in a risky situation by adopting the flag. It opens the door to other groups who may want to flag political parties, churches, other organizations. So I would have voted no on that.
I would have voted against making the Pride flag an official city flag. First, I believe it should go without saying that we should all treat our neighbors, no matter their sexual orientation, with the same grace we would want to be treated. After all, we're all children of God. However, government public symbols, such as the city flag, should represent the shared identity and civic unity. It should represent the entire community, not the sexual identity of a segment of that population. The government should engage through its actions in neutral, nonpartisan statements of unity and collective values. It should not be a political, specific religious, or specific sexual orientation statement. Such flags are not inclusive, but are divisive, as they endorse a specific government-favored viewpoint. Government's role should be one of viewpoint neutrality, neither displaying preference or prejudice. That's a recognition that our civic identity is distinct from our personal or public identities. The city flag should be a unifying symbol that unites us.
I led this effort, and I stand by my vote. I said it then, and I will say it now. Symbols of community acceptance are literally life-saving. To those who have said that this was a divisive vote, the true division came when Helena overstepped their authority and meddled in our local control. The true division has come from our state and federal government mounting a systematic attack on queer and trans people, picking and choosing which rights certain people get to have. Removing the Pride flag after years of flying it proudly would not have been a neutral act. Let me be clear. Nobody is denied rights by recognizing queer people exist and are marginalized. I agree with those who have said this isn't the role of municipal government. But in response, I'd ask, what is the role of municipal government when our state and federal governments are failing so many in our community? We need leaders with courage to be a backstop in times when our core American values of celebrating our diversity as a nation is under attack. And I promise you that courage.
Yeah, if I was on the city commission at the time of that vote, I would have voted no. To adopt the Pride flag as the Bozeman City official flag. I think we already do have a flag that represents everybody, and I hope that everybody feels that way because Bozeman is a wonderful, wonderful place. And you know, unifying under that flag should be the commonality. Moreover, it's not my belief that the city commission should make decisions based on, you know, maybe ideologies. And it is my commitment to you, the residents of Bozeman, if elected, I will not be a commissioner that makes politically charged decisions, but ones that are practical and benefit Bozeman as a whole.
I also would not have forced that conversation on our community. I do feel that it divided us. We can be inclusive without performative gestures. I want us to focus on efforts that bring us together, places where we find common ground, not drive a splitting mall through our community. I don't care about your identity. Show me the quality of your ideas. Great ideas come from everywhere. I can promise you that if I'm elected, I will speak with anyone. I will meet with anyone. And that means that I will have conversations with people you don't like and you disagree with.
So when this question came up, one of the things that I hear is justifying why we had to have this decision in our community at the time was because of something the state legislature did. And let's be real, like, they threw a punch and it landed. Two wrongs don't make a right. They don't. I don't believe in that kind of justification. Over 700 public comments were submitted. That is unprecedented participation as someone who's been shown up there for a really long time. Like, you just don't get that kind of participation. And so the thing I don't like about authoritarianism is it's all well and good as long as your team is in power. I don't think that kind of whiplash is good for our community. So I would have voted no on it. I would have not brought forth that question. I think there's a lot of different ways that we can show up to make sure that people feel seen and they feel safe. And so I think that we can work on building consensus and acceptance of one another and acceptance of different ideas, but I really want to work on the things that we can agree on.
So this is not a hypothetical issue for me. I voted against the Pride flag. My ethos is to find solutions that bring us together. That is hard work, and we did not do that hard work on the Pride flag to find a city symbol that represents as best we can the hopes and dreams of as much of the population as we can. Instead, we drove a wedge into our community. But I want to be absolutely clear. My responsibility as mayor is to make sure that all citizens of this town feel safe and respected in their public lives. And that is uncompromisable. There's no middle ground on that. That is all means all. And I think we can do that. We have the Belonging and Bozeman Plan. We have the CEDAW ordinance that we'll talk about later this evening, where we can find common ground, we can make progress on shared goals, and we can bring the community together. That is hard work. It needs effective leadership. It's work I want to do.
I went to the No Kings protest a few months back. You guys heard about that one? Where we're telling Donald Trump that he's not a king? And during that protest, I was collecting signatures for the Ward Ballot Initiative. And there was a woman holding a pride flag there. And I was telling her about the initiative, and she said, yeah, I'd love to sign it. And so I grabbed that flag, and I was holding that thing for the whole city of Bozeman and the world to see. And so I completely agree that we need to be very inclusive. We need to send a message to everybody in this room that we're all welcome in Bozeman. It doesn't matter your race, your sex, your gender, your ethnicity. That everyone here is welcome. Now, when I think back a few years ago, I didn't know what the pride flag meant, really. And I felt like, is this just a gay thing? Is this just a trans? Is it a queer thing? I don't understand what this is. And I didn't really feel included. I didn't feel like I was part of that or whatever it is. And I still hear that today. And I hear that from people who just spoke. And so I think that we should adopt the pride flag 1 month, during the pride month.
All right. Give everybody a round of applause. We've got 1 minute for all of you folks. And the question is going to be, divisiveness, misinformation, hateful rhetoric, and discrimination are rife in today's political climate. If elected, how will you plan to address or combat this within our city? And let's start with you.
First of all, government's job is not to police speech. The best way for government to address these issues is by setting an example. The city commission wants to reduce divisiveness in our city, then the city commissioners shouldn't engage in divisive actions, such as giving preference to their preferred constituents to the detriment of other residents, or disregarding our opinions on public issues, or when we give public comment, or lecture us if they don't agree with our opinions as if they were our moral superiors. If we make something the city commission does on a regular basis, essentially if we want less divisiveness in our society, government has to set an example by being less divisive and not driving wedges through our community. It's the actions of government that count. Thank you.
Division and misinformation are at an all-time high in our country, but that doesn't mean that we have to shy away from controversial conversations. In fact, it means it's more important than ever to have them. I have a proven record of being willing to have those tough conversations and ensure that we don't sweep controversial topics under the rug. When I vote, I combine fact-based decisions with listening to a full spectrum of our community. As a commissioner, I have been and will continue to be available to the public for conversation and dialogue, because dialogue and education are the best ways to combat misinformation and to reach mutual understanding. As your commissioner, I will champion the implementation of our Belonging in Bozeman plan. This plan strategically prioritizes the policies and programs that will best advance the rights and belonging of all residents, with attention to race, sexuality, ability, language, and many other lenses of difference.
Thank you.
Yeah, look, folks, the sad truth of the matter is that divisiveness, excuse me, is apparent in the nation, and that has trickled down into Bozeman. I am a full-fledged believer that the way that you get over divisiveness is you understand, you listen to people. And when I mean listen, you don't listen to hear them. You listen to understand. And that human connection is a subsect, I think, of the divisiveness that's missing in, you know, today's world. The day and age that we live in with social media and technology and all of these, you know, wonderful tools can also be damaging, much like fire, right? And so what I intend to do, and again, one of my biggest points, is I want to be the representative of the people that listens, that sits down, has conversations, that humanizes people and really loves and cares for them, and then takes those, you know, opinions to a decision-making body.
Divisiveness, misinformation, all the rest of it, it is a national plague. I want to keep national narratives out of our municipal sphere. I promise to keep an open mind. I promise to meet with anyone. I promise to hear what you're saying to me, because anything, any problem or grievance that you're bringing, it comes from somewhere real. I would not have authorized $100,000 of taxpayer money to fight against a citizen-led ballot initiative. Instead, I would have sat down with those highly engaged, intelligent residents and worked to find a solution, because the tool that they're presenting has value. It's happened over and over and over again, from the Tree Coalition.
A lot of those words, the misinformation, the divisiveness, a lot of ways, yeah, you look out the window and it's a dumpster fire out there. I personally don't do social media because I'm convinced it's bad for my health. I'm not going to put that on anybody else. But yeah, what to do about it and how to approach it. I think empathy is big there. I approach things as a leader with a heart of service, with a genuine inquisitiveness of how can I help. And to understand the issues. A lot of times if we don't agree with somebody or somebody's upset, it's coming from a place of fear, and a lot of times that's fear of change, fear of the unknown. But what I've personally found is that you don't really get anywhere by telling somebody that they're stupid or ignorant or ill-informed or all these things, or for name-calling, because they see something different than you do. We really have to humanize each other. I make a point to bring people together. I make a point to challenge myself with differing narratives and different perspectives. So, yeah, it's very simple. Treat others how you would want to be treated. We have to be a role model with that. So,
my goal as your public servant is to create a culture of collaboration and consensus. Sitting on the school board, I saw firsthand that the power and the value of creating an open and transparent process government that brings people together. That is hard work. It does not come easily. We can never always get to consensus on every issue coming before the city, but we can certainly get closer to bringing people together, bringing stakeholders into the room, listening, respecting differences and perspectives. That is my bedrock belief as a public servant. Is collaboration and consensus. It's effective leadership to bring people out of their corners and into the center by listening to them and creating a culture of consensus and collaboration.
I just heard that we need to create an atmosphere of consensus and collaboration, but the only people I feel like the city is collaborating with are the developers. I'm a practicing attorney, which means I fight in court every day to protect our public lands, to protect our water. And so we operate in the world of ideas. And I've learned over the course of 15 years as a practicing attorney that I can attack ideas, but I can't attack people. Say what you mean, but don't say it mean. We need to respect each other, and at the same time, you can say, I don't like your idea. Because at the end of the day, we're all more than our ideas. And so if we can say, this is my idea, and kick that idea around without kicking the person, that's what we need. And we need someone to say that. The mayor of Bozeman said this last week. He said we need more respectful dialogue, and I completely agreed with him and said thank you for saying that.
Divisiveness and rhetoric, if elected, that's absolutely something I want to help fix. And I'll align myself with something John said about say what you mean, but don't say it mean. I think that's perfect. And I think our public officials need to lead by example and continue to foster public conversation through public forums, Q&As, town halls, so that both sides of any argument can come together and have a constructive conversation. I think that we all just need to be mindful about how we are expressing our position on issues. And I know it's really easy to get passionate. You know, I'm guilty myself of going on my Instagram, TikTok, whatever, and making some pretty heated videos, but we should all be mindful to be careful about that.
Well, this is our last wing question, and it's allegedly supposed to be the big one. I'm going to do a little dip. We'll see. You're each going to have 2 minutes to answer this question, and it's this. Housing affordability is one of the biggest challenges for young people and workers in Bozeman. Aside from the Ward Ballot Initiative, what policy plans do you have in mind to create more affordable housing market within the city limits? Awesome. And this time, we get to start with Emma.
So the prospect of homeownership is still out of reach for many Bozemanites, especially the working class and young people. Just renting is impossible for some. Safe and obtainable housing should be available to all, yet for many of our community members living paycheck to paycheck, this isn't a reality. And some are even worse conditions, living on the streets and emergency shelters. When we can't build a diversity of housing types in the core of Bozeman for a diversity of people at every stage of their lives, our most vulnerable residents are left behind or pushed to the furthest edges of town and beyond. My housing platform focuses on 4 strategies. Establishing a robust transitional housing program. It's not enough to just get people off of the street and into emergency housing. We need clear ramps to move people from the unhoused community into that stable housing. Secondly, we need to fortify tenants' rights by passing a tenants' right to counsel program to keep people in the homes that they can afford. Third, we need to pass a pro-housing building code that removes barriers to building affordable housing at a neighborhood scale. We don't currently have a zone where missing middle housing is permitted without also allowing large apartment complexes. We can and should adjust that so that we can build gentle density in that are compatible with neighborhoods. And fourth, I want to explore ways to support decommodified housing, which is not subject to market forces and instead provides housing for the sake of housing as a public good. This includes expanding our use of community housing trusts, co-housing models, and establishing a public housing authority.
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank you guys for giving us 2 minutes to talk about this. I think that I can keep it pretty simple in my answer here. And I would like to address the word initiative right away, too. I don't feel that is conducive to housing affordability. Besides the point, and I think the elephant in the room that maybe not a lot of us want to confront, is that housing affordability is a big picture and almost, more so a national issue, right? I wish that I could promise you, if I were to get elected, I can go and call Jerome Powell in the Federal Reserve and have him, cut rates to bring down the market, right? That's simply not the case, and the levers in which the city government has available to pull are limited, and limited to things like land use and zoning, maybe financial tools and regulations. And so the things that I would look to immediately and directly benefit the people of Bozeman when it comes to housing affordability would be things like continuing to allow for additional dwelling units, encouraging residential supply. Of course, you know, supply goes up, in theory, right, the price will come down. Letting the economics play out. I'm a big proponent of public-private partnerships. I'm actually headed over on Friday to talk with the Headwaters Housing Group. And so facilitating such things like that, and, you know, I think one of the last things that I would really look to is fast-tracking permit processes. So,
I'll repeat what I said last week. No city commission is going to be able to correct the housing market. It's going to continue to go up and up and up. We can build housing outside of that market. And if I'm elected, one of the first things I will direct our staff to do is consult the bonding authority, because nobody's actually done that yet. The only communities that have managed to keep housing from rising above what working people can afford are those with a very high proportion of non-market housing. The thing that keeps me up at night is the thought that we will not build enough non-market housing before we run out of water. Water is real, folks. I also want us to create neighborhood-approved, pre-approved infill designs for ADUs and split lot construction. This kind of housing builds community rather than crushing it. It prevents displacement and gentrification, unlike simple upzoning. On the Better Bozeman Coalition resources page, we have an article about withintrification. Okay, this is where you raise the value of a community from within at a pace that doesn't push out existing residents. I want us to build non-market housing, and I want us to help those who live here add housing in existing neighborhoods.
So, I don't know, maybe we can use like AI to do like a word count on affordable housing. And it's kind of incredible to me, I mean, how much bandwidth has been allocated to that dialogue over basically, I mean, for the past decade, at least as long as I've been showing up at city meetings. And yet it does seem sometimes like it's a misnomer. We've seen a lot of things that are a big swing and a miss, missing the mark completely when it comes to affordability, making trade-offs that, you know, hindsight may not be worth it. One of the things I think about more is a targeted housing. When someone asks me, you know, it's like we have this problem, trying to understand it, who are we trying to house? That question. And so I think about it in terms of a targeted housing. I don't think that we can bucket people just by their AMI. It says nothing about the debt that people take on or that they hold. Some of the things that I think, one of the things that I brought to the Inner Neighborhood Council was a survey to see how many people were interested. I live in the Midtown neighborhood, and one of the things that I'm super proud of is that we've done our own sort of renaissance there. People bought there because it was lower priced at the time. A lot of places needed a lot of sweat equity, and so it's been fun to participate in that, loan each other tools, things like that. We shared with other neighborhoods. Turns out there's a lot of people who are very interested in adding units to existing property. Now, these are typically properties that have been acquired prior to inflated costs. The barriers are access to capital and technical knowledge. These are not developers. These are our neighbors. Given what the current financial circumstance is, we have an opportunity, and it's shrinking, to leverage lower basis values on these things. If you can't get access to capital and the city becomes a conduit for that, they get to lay out some terms for affordability. This is not contentious development. This is neighborhoods beefing up, and people want to do it.
So we need a big, diverse toolbox. Big, diverse toolbox to deal with how the complex housing issues facing Bozeman. My concern is that Ward takes away that toolbox and gives us a hammer, a rigid mandate that nobody that I've talked to who works in affordable housing or water or the environment or urban planning says will work. So we also know that growth is going to continue in this town for the same reason it has for decades. Bozeman is a great place. The Valley is a great place. We can meet the needs of our housing, for our growth with a variety of housing types. And we've done a really good job. We've done a pretty good job on price-capped workforce housing. We have more than 1,800. More than 1,800 units or houses in the pipeline. We desperately need starter homes where families can put down roots and grow into Bozeman. On January 13th, I'd love to have a package in front of our new city commission that provides a diverse package of solutions. It works with community housing trusts, works with the proponents of our water initiative, works with builders and trusted partners like MSU, the Bozeman School District, that have land around our kind of workplace hubs to unlock that potential of starter homes, to put neighborhood design standards that save us from cookie-cutter development, and most importantly, that work with fact-based requirements that deliver affordable housing. I'm a results-based guy. Ward's 33% mandate is just unrealistic, but could 5 or 10% work? Let's get people who know building, who in the room, work on a results-based approach that truly allows those who work in Bozeman to live in Bozeman.
About 2.5-3 years ago, my wife and I were living in a 700-800-square-foot house, twin boys and a dog. My wife said, we're either going to get a house of our own or we're leaving Bozeman. She put her name in a hat. She put her name in a lottery. They call us and say, you've won the lottery. If you want this house, it's an affordable house, you can get in. And today, my family lives in an affordable housing complex, and I owe it to this town to give back to our family. And so I feel a very deep obligation to give back to what's been so freely given to me. I spent over a year working with Bozeman residents to draft Ward. It's the only thing I've heard from anybody right now. It's the only thing. It's the only alternative for affordable housing I've heard from anybody. We talk about, yeah, we'll do this, yeah, we'll do this, we'll have plans, but right now we have a city commission who's not providing affordable housing. It's a problem. What I see is the commission approving of the Bozeman Yards on the northeast side using TIF money, $3.7 million that's supposed to get the city out of blight. And so we spend $3.7 million on two affordable units. And that's just not enough. That's not an answer. That's not going to help us solve the problem. So in addition to Ward, we can create a public housing authority. Bozeman is the only city of our size in the state of Montana that doesn't have a public housing authority. Those guys can help ensure that renters are taken care of. And when there's a problem with your landlord, that it's solved. And that can help us ensure they can ask for municipal bonds. And once we start building non-market housing, the rent that's paid can help pay off those bonds as well. It's a new idea that Bozeman needs to adopt.
On affordable housing, there's not one big lever the city can pull. Instead, it's more like we have a lot of small levers. I think the first thing we really need to do is create a public housing authority for Bozeman. Like John said, we're basically the only city of our size across the state that doesn't have one, and it's about time we do. And aside from that, I think we need to look at how we can tie tax increment financing to affordability. No more of this $3.5 million to luxury condos that only provide two affordable units. We should be demanding more. And lastly, I think it's worth having the new mayor, new commission, look over the existing affordable housing ordinance and seeing if there's anything we can do to make that more effective. We need a combination of tools in the toolbox to alleviate the housing pressure for people in Bozeman.
I myself faced this issue when I first moved to Bozeman. I was on a wait list for 4 months from my apartment because I found an apartment that I could afford. So I... Wow. So I sympathize with those who are confronted with this issue. Currently, we have about a 20% vacancy rate due to all the building that has occurred over the last few years. And as a result, we are seeing rents come down, or in my experience, my personal experience, not being raised for current occupants. That demonstrates that market-based policies work rather than government dictates from the top down. I support denser development, but only where it's appropriate, such as where I live in Baxter Meadows or the new developments behind Home Depot and Lowe's, but not downtown in the old neighborhoods of the single-family homes, which we are seeing. Such development must be fair to those who bought into and live in single-family neighborhoods where denser development is not appropriate. And unlike the current administration, I don't consider single-family neighborhoods to be the enemy, as been expressed by this commission. Further, as much as everyone would like to live near where they work, there's also the reality that the rent some people won't be able to afford compared to how much they earned. And they'll have to commute from outlying areas that are more affordable. I personally, when I first started out in my career, I had to commute an hour and a half by public transportation to get to my job before I earned enough where I was able to move closer to it. So I think that's there has to be some compromise. There's some level of acknowledgement that everybody can't get what they want, but we also have to build denser, but in accordance where it's appropriate. Thank you.
All right, give a round of applause to our brave Hot Wing soldiers. All right, we're going to take a 5-ish minute break.
That was the first part of the candidate forum held at the Gallatin Labor Temple in Bozeman on September 30th, 2025. This portion was moderated by representatives from Forward Montana.